current information. There's always a way to give a truth that's related, but not the answer they want. Find a connection.
Where are the plans?
The voice exploded in her ears, loud enough to make Leia cringe.
I don't have them, she shouted. I don't have them!
Where are they?
I don't have them!
Where did you send them? Where is the rebel base?
Without warning, the fire in Leia's body was blown out, replaced by an icy grip. Fear wound its way through her, snaking down into her stomach. The feeling was so different from the lightheaded dream of the serum. There was power behind each of his words. They nudged at her. They prodded as sharply as any knife. So Leia did the only thing she could. She pulled back, physically, toward the wall. Mentally, to a place the voice couldn't find her. An unfamiliar warmth wrapped around her. A protective blanket that didn't let any of the darkness nudge through. The freezing pressure on her mind was thrown back. The rumbling voice made a sound of surprise and was quiet for a long moment.
If you do not tell me where to find the rebels, lives will be lost. All of the rebel deaths will be on your head.
Leave me alone!
Leia repeated, throwing her arms up over her head.
Your father wants you to trust us. He wants you to tell us where to find the rebels. He's worried about you. He wants you to come home.
Alderaan is my home.
That was true.
Are you a member of the Rebel Alliance?
Leia swallowed the disgusting taste in the back of her mouth, blinking as the cell began to take shape again around her. Vader was a black blur against the crimson ceiling lights. Not safe.
I'm Princess Leia Organa, she said. I'm the senator from Alderaan.
And that was the truth. Vader stepped back, watching her as stilly and silently as any poisonous snake about to strike. He began to turn, signaling something to the security officers. Leia slumped back against the metal cot in relief.
They were leaving. It was over.
Careful. If you continue to resist, soon you will be neither.
The cell door hissed shut behind him. Chapter 6. With no clock on the wall, it was easy to lose track of time. Despite her best efforts to stay awake, exhaustion finally wrestled her into a troubled sleep. She felt herself drift in and out of consciousness each time boots echoed down the hallway outside. The truth serum had finally left her system, which meant her stomach had stopped clenching and flipping each time she took a breath.
I did it, she thought,
letting pride and a small happiness warm the ice that still gripped her center. She hadn't broken under any amount of agony. There was that, at least. Even her aunts would have been impressed she'd managed to keep her head in such a dangerous situation. But it was a cold comfort. She was alone with the small, shivering fear that Vader would come back any second with that droid, and that next time he would try something else, and that he would finally yank the truth out of her. Had minutes passed? Hours? A day? I can do it again, she told herself. I can make it. She knew that as long as she stayed in her cell, her life would be nothing more than a ticking clock. There wasn't a single doubt in her mind that her father was searching for clues about what happened to her, but she couldn't sit on her hands and hope he or someone in the rebellion would put everything together. Leia had to rescue herself. The truth was Leia couldn't predict how long Vader would keep her alive, knowing there was a chance she was connected to the rebellion. It seemed out of character for him to give her even this much time to come around. unusually patient for someone who didn't blink at crushing a subordinate like a worm. If he was even capable of blinking. What was under that mask exactly? Leia pushed herself up, rubbing the sleep from her eyes. She was on a space station. There had to be some way for her to get a message to Alderaan. An officer would be too concerned with his or her next promotion to risk sympathizing with Leia. But she'd seen the surprised faces of the security officers when she'd come in. Was it possible that there were soldiers within the Empire who didn't agree with their master's policies? Leia knew that service in the military wasn't always voluntary. The heavy steps outside her cell door interrupted the new plan forming in her mind. For a moment, Leia was convinced that she could feel the ground shake. But maybe that was just her own fright playing tricks on her. No more than a moment later, she heard the familiar click and whoosh of Vader's respirator. Then, the door opened. Leia jumped to her feet, but neither Darth Vader nor the two security officers with him actually stepped inside.
Follow me.
Vader's cloak flew out behind him as he turned. Equal parts curious and nervous, Leia took a tentative step outside of her cell. Were they transporting her again? Taking her to some kind of trial? Or was this the moment they'd get rid of her once and for all? The security officer snapped binders over her wrists, tight enough to make Leia cringe. Without a word of explanation, they led her through the detention block, boots clicking on the metal walkway in time with a throbbing headache behind her eyes. The burn of the outer hallway's bright lights was unbearable. Everything on the ship was shining and new, gleaming with evil intentions. Vader caught her by the shoulder as they approached two towering metal doors. They slid open at his signal, a whisper of a sound that faded into silence. That was what struck Leia first. The quiet. There were dozens of men and women in black uniforms and helmets seated along a stretch of control panels that held too many glowing buttons and levers even to attempt to count. Over their heads, more panels blinked with red and white lights. It was the control room, Leia realized. The overbridge. They had walked her into the nerve center of the Death Star. But why would they show her this? At the opposite end of the chamber, an enormous screen blinked to life, illuminating the officer standing in front of it. Of course. Of course it would be him. Governor Tarkin, Leia began with her sweetest face. I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board. The very first thing Leia's father had ever told her about Grand Moff Willif Tarkin was that she was to stay away from him. He had made an official visit to Alderaan right around the time Leia had turned 13, which, coincidentally, was also about the time when Leia had made it her mission to do the opposite of whatever she was told to do. So, she'd crept along the halls of the palace behind the two men, listening to the cold, tense words they exchanged. As she'd slipped out of her hiding place, one thought had blasted through her mind. He is a snake. A man who kept slaves. A man who wrapped around his victims and slowly, mercilessly crushed the life from them. The cold, sharp edges of his heart were reflected in the lines of his face. As the years had gone on, and he'd aged into his ugly cruelty, his skin had pulled tight against his skull. His steely blue eyes could assess a person's worth in a single glance. And the perpetually sour expression on his face showed that he always found the person lacking. Behind him, a beautiful emerald green planet filled the screen, glowing with life. Leia felt her chest clench at the sight of it. That was Alderaan. They must have traveled there after bringing her aboard. That was her home. The sight she'd been longing to see from the moment she'd left it. Despite everything, she was floating on a bubble of excitement. Were they really releasing her then?
Charming to the last,
Tarkin said, with a look that would have caused a freshly bloomed rose to wither.
You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life?
Apparently not. A jolt of fear shot through her. Leia had expected they might kill her, of course, but it was one thing to think it, and another to hear it promised so casually, the way someone would announce what was for supper. I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself, she shot back. There. His eye gave a small twitch. Leia tilted her head to the side, her lips twisted into a smirk. Very few things made her happier than getting a rise out of despicable old men who wanted everyone around them to cower in their presence. These men wanted her to beg for her life, to tremble and cry. It was time to let her hatred fly, to show them once and for all she was not that girl. She was not that little princess. However did you choose the method of my demise without the Emperor there to pat you on the head when you finished? The governor clasped his hands together in front of him, angling his face back toward the screen. Another officer stepped up beside him, struggling to master his smirk at her words. He was younger than Tarkin, his face stirring some memory at the back of Leia's mind. Admiral Mati. Wonderful. No wonder the Death Star was so big. It needed to be to house some of the largest egos in the galaxy.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational.
He was so smug, so sure of himself. There wasn't a single aspect of Tarkin that didn't make Leia's skin want to crawl right off her bones.
No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station.
The little smirk he gave her made Leia want to take a small step back. A man like him didn't smile unless he was about to get a taste of blood.
In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that'll be destroyed first. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
The truth whipped through her, cracking her wide open with terror.
No! Alderaan is peaceful! We have no weapons! You can't possibly...
They couldn't. Alderaan was one of the central planets. The galaxy depended on its wealth and innovation. There were billions of innocent lives down there.
You would prefer another target, a military target, than name the system. Where is the rebel base?
Leia glanced over at the officers sitting at the controls of the station, disbelief swelling inside her. How could they follow orders like these? She pulled back, trying to hide her face so they wouldn't see that panic had drained every last drop of blood from it. But Vader was like a wall behind her, and Tarkin stepped up close in front of her, trying to get her to cower. A version of the truth, she thought. Old information. The location would be believable, and she wouldn't run the risk of giving them a planet they had already checked and found clear of rebel activity. It didn't matter that she'd be confirming her involvement with the rebellion once and for all, not if it meant saving her planet. She would have fought through years of war to help the rebellion, but she would die for her home. Dantooine, Leia said softly, lowering her head. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable.
Tarkin turned toward Admiral Mati.
Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What? Leia cried. I gave you what you wanted. You can't do this.
You're far too trusting,
Tarkin said, giving a dismissive wave.
Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, But don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No! Please!
Commence primary ignition,
one of the officers said, leaning forward over his section of the console to push one of a dozen lit buttons on the panel. Next to him, another officer reached up to pull a lever. The low, eerie hum vibrated through the floor, through Leia's skin. She felt it in her teeth. Vader's grip on her tightened as a green beam appeared in the viewport. Leia sucked in a horrified gasp, struggling against him, trying to do something, anything to... The beam of light raced toward her planet, ripping through the blackness of space. There was a single moment when everything around Leia seemed to suspend. She didn't breathe, didn't move, couldn't feel. And then, the planet, gleaming like a gemstone in front of her, exploded, tearing apart in a burst of fiery light, sending debris scattering into a molten hot ring. She could imagine how it happened, how the light must have appeared in the crystal blue sky for just a moment, how the mountains had dissolved into dust, billions of lives gone in the blink of an eye. Her home, her family. She stood there, seconds feeling like hours. She shook her head again. There was no way. Alderaan couldn't be gone. It was all a show, some strange illusion that the Empire had crafted to try to break her. Another interrogation tactic. But then, why would they have done it after she had given them the information they were looking for? Why were the fragments of the planet's core still shooting out around them, blazing paths across the void of space? It was real. The cold numbness that had gripped her suddenly snapped. In its place was a burning, bottomless anger. Leia screamed, trying to rip herself out of Vader's grip, to claw at Tarkin's face, with every ounce of fury radiating from her center. Vader held her firmly, letting her struggle against his iron grip. You call yourselves human! Tarkin merely gave her a bored look, then turned to Vader.
Take her back to her cell to await termination. Sedate her, if you must.
There was no need. Her shocked rage flared so bright, so hot, that it burned out before she could really make use of it. And once it was gone, she was left with nothing but numb disbelief. Her home, her family, everything. It didn't feel real, any of it. Her mother, her father, her aunts, her people, the gardens, her room, the libraries, the art, the beautiful blooming life. The Empire needed to take her instead. She would do anything to bring it all back. She would trade herself, anything, if they could undo what they'd done. You know that's impossible, a small voice whispered in her mind. Nothing would bring her home back. No amount of bargaining would fix this. It was over. It must have dragged her back to her cell. Leia didn't remember. Her legs gave out the moment she was through the cell door. The next thing she knew, her cheek was pressed against the cold metal grating on the floor. Her fingers curled around it. But Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan, for the first time in her life, couldn't bring herself to push herself back onto her feet. Princess Leia, were you still a princess if your home world was gone? In a matter of hours, she'd lost her position in the Senate, her home, and every plan she'd made. For the first time in her life, Leia didn't know what to do. The senator didn't have a plan. The princess didn't have a history. All that was left was just Leia. She closed her eyes, trying to picture her parents' faces. Her body shook with the effort to keep her tears back. She folded the pain away, the anguish. She had to. She'd made a promise to her father as he'd seen her and the crew of the Tantivy fore off that last time. I won't fail you. But hadn't she? No. No. Leia pushed her chest off the ground, sitting up. Failing would be giving up. Because somewhere out in the desert, there was a droid carrying the hope for the future inside of him. There were allies counting on her. Allies who needed to know the truth about the Death Star and the tremendous danger they were in. It wouldn't be the same, but she could still fight. She had a place with the Rebel Alliance. Leia took a deep breath, her father's voice whispering in her mind. Taking on all of these responsibilities, they've shaped you into a glittering star. Maybe she had misunderstood what he meant after all. Her father hadn't been a man who prided himself on his riches or owning beautiful things. He didn't value gems or credits, and he didn't often fall back on poetic flattery. Above all, he admired strength. And how else were stars formed but through a collision of pressure and heat? An explosion of energy. The formation of a star shaped the space around it. It could be seen from millions of kilometers away. She stood up, straightening to her full height, and began to look around her cell again, searching for her out. They could think they'd taken the parts of her that mattered most, that they'd broken her. But there was a part of Leia that the Emperor, Vader, Tarkin, any of them could never touch. Her heart was a star that would never burn out. And she would outshine them all.
The Scoundrel, Chapter 7. Nothing like a severed limb flying through the air to break up a perfectly good day in a cantina.
No blasters!
The barkeep called, panicked.
No blasters!
Thank the stars, Han thought. Otherwise, no one would walk out of there alive. For a single heartbeat, the thick herbal smoke that layered the air seemed to part. The band's cheerful music cut out. The shouts in Basic and what had to be every other language in the galaxy faded to a whimper. For the first time in Chalmun's Cantina's long history of hosting the rowdiest pirates Mos Eisley had to offer, there was absolute silence. Then, everyone went back to their business, and the pulse of life returned. The band, Figrin Dian and the Modal Nodes, a group of Biff with dome-shaped heads and black, glassy insect eyes, started bopping away on their instruments again. Han could have sworn the severed arm, not to mention the creature's remaining stump, was still sizzling when the old fossil calmly switched his blue laser sword off. Han leaned around the girl in his lap, trying to see what had sparked the fight in the first place. A younger human, a blonde teenager, was hauled up from the floor looking dazed, then disappeared into one of the cantina's dark pockets. Han had taken up a corner booth back in the shadows, waiting for the right job to lure him out. And, well, okay, it had the added bonus of keeping him out of sight of the people hunting his skin. But clearly, Han should have been more worried about the human girl training her sights on him than he was about Jabba the Hutt.
Han,
the girl in his lap began, voice high and breathy. She slid her fingers into his hair and forced him to look at her.
You were gone for so long.
She was beautiful and charming, that was for sure. Jewel-toned eyes, long, pale hair. An outfit Han was sure would result in some interesting tan lines when she stepped outside. And hey, he was never going to shoot down the attentions of a, lady. Well, he cut himself off when he saw the way her brows pulled together. Right. Sarla was the girl in Sereno Spaceport. Helene was the Twi'lek barkeep at Kala'oon who had a thing for captains. which meant this girl was... blank. Mos Eisley's spaceport girl? He shot her a charming, lopsided smile and stroked a knuckle down her cheek.
You know how it is.
The jobs I get take me to every corner of the galaxy. Sometimes it's just too dangerous to show my face around the usual haunts. A guy like me... He dropped his voice to a dramatic whisper. He just has to keep moving. The girl sighed.
Everyone's been talking about that spice cargo you had to dump. One of the freighter pilots said Jabba put a price on your head the size of this planet.
Han scowled.
This dust ball isn't that big.
She continued, ignoring him, her fingers moving to fiddle with the collar of his shirt.
You must have come back for a reason. A good one?
Not a blonde one, he thought, reaching for his drink. Half paying attention to what the girl was saying, he scanned the cantina, searching for the kid and the old man, and found them. Of course, right next to Chewie. Leave it to the Wookiee to cozy right up to them, chatting them up like he hadn't just seen someone else get his fur singed. People only came into this particular cantina if they were looking to book a ship's services and weren't inclined to tell the Imperials about what they were transporting. Han's specialty.
But really, he thought, what job was going to be worth letting a lunatic with a sword anywhere near his Falcon?
They'd already had to turn down two measly jobs hauling goods off planet. The pay was bad, and the cargo was hot, literally steaming. Han might have taken a blow to his rep recently, but he had some professional pride left, thank you very much. One guy had wanted them to haul bantha dung into space to fertilize some other wasteland. No thank you very much. Chewbacca cut a path toward Han's booth. If the almost 2.5 meter tall frame of shaggy brown hair didn't clear the way, the teeth and claws that completed the package did. Very few people knew Chewie had a mushy heart under that warrior's exterior. The Wookiee looked at the girl in Han's lap, then at his friend, waiting. Han shrugged. What could he do? Some folks were just born irresistible. But hey, this was the opportunity he'd been waiting for.
Meet Chewbacca, my co-pilot. Chewie, meet...
Han let his voice trail off, hoping she'd jump in and introduce herself. Instead, she pulled her head back, the way a serpent did right before it struck.
Alia?
He guessed. Chewie groaned. The girl merely stood up, picked up Han's drink, and threw the remainder in his face.
It's Jenny,
she said, as she tossed her hair over her shoulder and stormed off.
Oh, yeah. Jenny, from Mos Espa.
His co-pilot snickered as Han used his black vest to wipe his face off. The truth was, he did feel bad about his memory slip. Not that he would show it.
Laugh it up, buddy.
Seeing Chewie's look, Han added,
Hey, you're the married one. Find me a human girl with Mala's brains and silky hair, and maybe I'll consider it.
If a Wookiee could blush, Chewbacca would have been pink all over. He growled out a question. Han sighed.
Yeah, I saw you with that old relic. Do I need to remind you he doesn't seem to like letting people keep their limbs?
Chewie rumbled out a sharp response.
Yeah, hard to miss the sword, pal. Of course I know what a lightsaber is. I wonder what antique trash heap he found it in.
The lightsaber was the chosen weapon of the Jedi Order, who served as peacekeepers in the Old Republic, pre-Emperor Palpatine's takeover.
There was some religious mumbo-jumbo about meditation and something called the Force. Great big wad of nonsense, if you asked Han.
Their kind had been extinct so long they were practically ancient history.
What's the job?
He asked. Chewie barked a response, and Han's eyes found the blonde kid again. The teen was fidgeting, looking around uncomfortably near the bar. Every now and then he straightened his simple pale tunic. His hands were shaking so badly, Han was surprised the little guppy didn't spill his drink.
Passage? Han repeated, turning back toward Chewie. To the Alderaan system?
That was it. Usually, when people wanted to hire a smuggler ship, it was to disappear into restricted territory, or one of the shadier hubs, in the hopes of getting lost forever. The Wookiee nodded.
Think it'll pay well?
Okay, he had standards, but he also needed to pay back one of the galaxy's biggest crime lords. He could be flexible with his standards. Chewie thumped the table as he snarled a response, going on and on about its being easy money. Finally, Han sighed and said,
Fine, bring him over.
Han took a moment to straighten his vest and lean back in the booth, eyes scanning the cantina one last time for trouble. Chewie ushered the old man and the kid into seats across the table from him.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
I'm Ben. This is Luke, the old man said, gesturing to the teenager. His calm presence was at complete odds with the kid's barely contained energy. Luke there looked like he was about to jump out of his skin. He was so eager to get going.
And yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
Han scoffed.
Fast ship? You never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Ben raised a white eyebrow.
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
The kid, like most people who heard the tale, looked impressed. The old man was not, however, most people.
Anyway,
Han said, before he could be called out on his lie. The Falcon was fast, and that was all that mattered. 0.5 past light speed was nothing to sniff at.
I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Corellian ships now.
She's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Ben gave a thoughtful hum before answering.
Only passengers. Myself, the boy, two droids, and no questions asked.
Suddenly, Han had a bad feeling about this job. What is it? Some kind of local trouble?
Let's just say we'd like to avoid any Imperial entanglements.
Well, Han said, leaning forward. Oh, this was going to be easy. That's the real trick, isn't it? And it's going to cost you something extra. 10,000, all in advance.
For the first time, the kid, Luke, spoke.
10,000? We could almost buy our own ship for that.
Yeah, but who's gonna fly it, kid? You?
He looked like he wouldn't be able to figure out how to retract the landing gear. Never mind make a jump to hyperspace.
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself.
Luke turned toward Ben and started to stand, anger flaring hot and fast across his face.
We don't have to sit here and listen to...
The old man waved his hand, and the kid settled back into his seat.
We haven't that much with us. But we could pay you 2,000 now, plus 15 when we reach Alderaan.
17?
Han wondered if he needed to clean his ears.
Okay. You guys got yourself a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94.
Ben repeated, nodding. Luke looked unhappy at the arrangement, but managed to hold his tongue this time. Behind them, a flash of white caught Han's eye. Four uniformed stormtroopers were making their way up to the bar, attracting looks of scorn from the other patrons.
Looks like someone's beginning to take an interest in your handiwork.
Han tilted his head in the bar's direction. His new passengers turned to look, the kid about jumping out of his skin as the barkeep pointed toward them. It was left to Ben to drag the kid off into the shadows, pulling him toward the back entrance. By the time the stormtroopers looked again, they were gone. Han spun toward Chewie, gripping the silver bandolier across the Wookiee's chest.
17,000? Those guys must be really desperate. Get back to the ship and get her ready.
The Wookiee slid out of the booth as Han signaled to the barkeep to close out his tab. Han fought the urge to sag in his seat in relief. The reasonable part of him knew it would only be a matter of time before he found a job to cover the cost of Jabba's lost cargo. But another part of him was starting to lose hope he'd get the credits in hand before a legit bounty hunter found him. It had been plain bad luck that an Imperial customs ship had crossed their path as they were preparing to leave Kessel with the illegal shipment. And now it was dumb luck that he could cover his rear. Han stood, stretching out a kink in his neck. He took one step forward, right into something hard, cold. Something that felt suspiciously like the business end of a blaster. Then he heard in Huttese,
"Going somewhere, Solo?"
Chapter 8. Han forced a relaxed smile and turned slowly. The face that stared back at him was vivid green, covered in scales and bumps. Black glassy eyes sat atop a short, trunk-like nose. Greedo. In the grand scheme of bounty hunters and henchmen, the Rodian was about as dangerous as a fly buzzing around a bantha's bottom. Unfortunately, he was on the trigger-happy end of the spectrum of Jabba's hired help. The captain slid back into the booth, relaxing in his seat. If he showed a hint of nerves around the cretin, even with a gun pointed at him, Han would never forgive himself.
"As a matter of fact, I was just about to go see your boss. But now you can tell Jabba that I've got his money."
"It's too late,"
Greedo said, a little too happily for Han's liking.
"You should have paid him when you had the chance. Jabba's put a price on your head so large that every bounty hunter in the galaxy will be looking for you. I'm lucky I found you first."
Han was lucky too. If it had been a reputable bounty hunter, say Boba Fett, he would have been in a galaxy of trouble. Still, he wasn't sure if Jabba's contract on his life had the dead or alive clause, so he wasn't about to go shooting off his mouth.
"Yeah, but this time I got the money."
"If you give it to me, I might forget I found you."
Greedo leaned across the table. He would have winked if he had a sense of humor.
"I don't have it with me. Look, it was a little thing getting boarded."
Han slowly reached for his gun under the table, sliding it from the holster at his hip. His fingers brushed against the cool metal as he sucked in a lungful of the cantina's warm, smoky air.
"You can tell that to Jabba. He may only take your ship."
Now it was Han's turn to sneer.
"Over my dead body."
The Rodian laughed, the sound trumpeting out of his snout as he trained his gun right on Han's heart.
"That's the idea. I've been looking forward to killing you for a long time."
A slow smile spread across the captain's face.
"Yeah, I'll bet you have."
Greedo disappeared in a blinding flash of white light as Han pulled the trigger on his gun. The thump as Greedo's body slumped onto the table made the other cantina patrons look over. Poor Greedo, Han thought, glancing down at the smoking corpse as he stood again. Never realized Han could shoot under a table just as well as above it.
"I said no blasters!"
the barkeep growled.
"For your trouble."
Han reached into his pocket and flipped him a coin.
"Sorry about the mess."
He couldn't get out of that cantina fast enough. The hot wall of desert air slammed into him as he stepped outside. Like walking into an oven, he thought, shielding his eyes from the sun beating down overhead. The dust flying through the air was thick that day. An unusual number of stormtroopers were kicking it up in the unpaved streets, dirtying their pristine white uniforms. Soon they'd blend in with the tan, sun-bleached buildings around them. Now he had a really bad feeling about the job. And that feeling only got worse when he saw Chewie hovering outside the hangar door, and heard a deep voice calling to him in Huttese.
Come out, Solo.
His co-pilot glanced back at him, hearing his boots shuffling through the loose sand.
Didn't want to go in alone?
Han asked, patting Chewie's shoulder.
I don't blame you. Let's get it over with.
Solo!
Slithering along the ground like the slug he was, Jabba waited outside the Millennium Falcon, shouting for Han. A half dozen of Jabba's henchmen circled the ship. Han crossed his arms over his chest, counting the weapons strapped to each of the thugs. Jabba seemed to be starting a collection of the system's ugliest, with himself as the crown jewel. Han had told Chewie his theory once that, unlike other life forms, the Hutts hadn't evolved from sparks of life and matter. The galaxy had simply belched them out one day. As long as Han was tall, and carrying about 5 times Han's weight, the Hutt was a putrid combination of brown and yellow and green skin. All warts and wrinkles and a drooling tongue, he seemed incapable of keeping inside his mouth.
I've been waiting for you, Jabba,
Han said, letting his voice echo through the hangar. When Jabba and the others turned, Han felt his stomach flip. The Hutt's gold reptile-like eyes tracked Han's movements as he came closer.
I expected you would be.
I'm not the type to run.
Well, a solid 60% of the time he wasn't. Jabba liked to talk to him as if Han were his wayward son. Han let him because Han enjoyed keeping his life.
Han, my boy, there are times when you disappoint me. Why haven't you paid me? And why did you have to fry poor Greedo like that?
News traveled fast, it seemed. You sent Greedo to blast me,
Han reminded him. Those gold eyes widened in fake shock.
You're the best smuggler in the business, but too valuable to fry. He was only relaying my concern at your delays. He wasn't going to blast you.
Han waved a hand dismissively.
If you've got something to say to me, come see me yourself.
Han, ho, 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 ho.
Jabba let out one of his belly laughs, the same kind he gave as he fed slaves to his pet Rancor.
You're my favorite scoundrel, don't you know? You and I are alike. We love money. The smell of it, the feel of it, the weight of it in our pockets. I understand you better than you think.
Han recoiled at the thought that he was anything like the slug in front of him.
If only you hadn't had to dump that shipment of spice. You understand I can't make an exception? Where would I be if all my smugglers dumped their shipment at the first sight of an Imperial starship? It's not good for business.
I had no choice. But I've got a charter now, and I can pay you back, plus a little extra. I just need some time.
Han held up his hands.
Come on. How long have I been running for you? And this is the first time I've had to ditch the cargo?
Jabba seemed to consider that.
For an extra, say, 20%, I'll give you a little more time. But this is it. If you disappoint me again, I'll put a price on your head so large you won't be able to go near a civilized system for the rest of your short life.
Han gave a little bow, then expertly talked the crime lord down to 15%.
Always a pleasure to do business with you.
Jabba was still laughing as he slithered out of the hangar, the others trailing behind him like faithful pets. Han's stomach didn't unclench until Jabba was gone from sight, and Chewie let out a relieved rumble from deep in his chest.
You said it, Han said. Think he would have sold us into slavery, or just sent us shooting out into the vacuum of space to watch us pop into little splats.
Neither of which would be the worst of what the hut had done. What Jabba lacked in looks, he made up for in endless creativity in hiding the bodies of his enemies. Han mopped the sweat off the back of his neck and shuddered.
All right, time to get down to work. Let's get her ready to fly.
It felt good to get back in the swing of things. He and Chewie ran through all the usual pre-flight checks, recalibrating some of the instruments and charting the course they'd take to the Alderaan system. Han was lovingly polishing one of the control panels when he heard someone cry, "What a piece of junk!"
The kid, of course.
Clearly that one was fresh off the moisture farm if he couldn't recognize the beauty of the Falcon's fine lines. The YT-series was the height of Corellian engineering genius. A triumph.
Maybe she was getting on in age, and some of her plates didn't match. Maybe he hadn't been able to paint over some of the worst scorch marks. But so what?
It was what was inside that counted most. Han didn't have much good in his life, aside from Chewie. His ship was the only thing he could count on in a real fight. She was the love of his life. Had been from the moment he won her from another scoundrel in a game of cards. And if the sand rat didn't stop insulting her, he was going to find himself blasted back down to Tatooine in an escape pod. Han walked down the boarding ramp to meet them.
She'll make 0.5 beyond the speed of light. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid.
I've added some special modifications myself. Luke scratched his head, shooting the old man an uncertain look. Han closed his eyes and counted to 10. 17,000, he reminded himself. If it was a choice between Jabba slowly feeding pieces of him to a pit of acid or dealing with a little punk, he could deal with a punk.
We're a little rushed, Han said, sweeping his hands toward the ramp. So if you'll hurry aboard, we'll get out of here.
Trailing behind the humans were two droids. One a golden humanoid protocol droid, who shuffled forward on stiff limbs and surveyed the hangar with round, glowing eyes. The other, a white cylindrical astromech droid on three legs, with a silver-domed head and blue detailing. Its small alert light flashed blue and red as it swiveled its head around. Both looked like they'd been rolling around the dunes for days. Han waited until they were all on board before starting up the ramp behind them. He cast one last look over his shoulder. One more trip back. After he got his money, he'd make one final trip to that pit to deliver it to Jabba. And then he'd make sure to keep a few systems between him and the hut.
Stop that ship!
Han did a double take, spinning around. The thunder of feet and clattering armor was his only warning before stormtroopers poured into the hangar. Their blaster rifles were already up.
Blast them!
The one out front ordered. Han swore in three different languages as he ducked up the ramp, chased by bolts of energy burning the air around him. He turned back and fired with his own blaster. Throwing himself up through the overhead door, he slammed his palm against its release button. The stormtrooper's shots glanced off the Millennium Falcon's shields.
Chewie!
Han called as he rushed past the holding area. He glanced around to make sure their passengers were buckling in.
Get us out of here!
His co-pilot roared back from the cockpit, drowning out the protocol droid's snooty.
Oh my, I've forgotten how much I hate space travel.
The Falcon was already clear of the hangar by the time Han collapsed into the pilot's seat, his hands flying across the console. They rose above the dingy, sand-whipped buildings of Mos Eisley, heading into the early afternoon sky. It never got old. Seeing the way the sky purpled and darkened as they blasted out of the atmosphere. That was why Han loved flying. And pulling off a narrow escape wasn't such a bad feeling either. Han had barely sat down in the pilot's chair next to Chewie when the Wookiee pointed to the sensor scope, growling out a warning. Han's stomach clenched at the sight of the large blip rapidly approaching them as they broke clear of Tatooine's atmosphere and entered the black, gaping mouth of outer space.
Looks like an Imperial cruiser. Our passengers must be hotter than I thought. Try and hold them off. Angle the deflector shield while I make the calculations for the jump to light speed.
As his hands flew over the navigation console, Han was vaguely aware of the silver and blue astromech droid rolling past the open cockpit door, beeping out what sounded like a few questions. Ignored, he rolled away, headed toward Luke and Ben to slip into a small space beside 3PO. Luke and Ben made their way into the cramped cockpit, where Han was continuing his calculations. Great. Now he had an audience.
Stay sharp, he warned Chewie. It looks like we have two more Imperial ships coming in. They're going to try to cut us off before we can make the jump to hyperspace.
His co-pilot shot him an irritated look, clearly already two steps ahead of him. What could he say? One Imperial Star Destroyer, about 50 times the size of the Falcon, was enough to make him a little nervous. Three made him downright jumpy. Luke leaned forward for a better look.
Why don't you outrun them? I thought you said this thing was fast.
What was that, the fourth time the kid had insulted his baby?
Watch your mouth, kid, or you're gonna find yourself floating home. We'll be safe enough once we make the jump to hyperspace. Besides, I know a few maneuvers.
More to himself than the others, he promised.
We'll lose them.
The Millennium Falcon bucked wildly at the first hits from the Imperial cruisers. White-blue sparks flashed outside the viewport. But the shields held.
Here's where the fun begins, he told the others.
Adrenaline pumped through him, filling his chest like a balloon.
How long before you can make the jump to light speed?
The old man was the calm eye at the center of a storm. His pale blue eyes watched the sea of stars in front of him. He didn't seem particularly bothered, even as the ship shuddered and rocked around them, like it was on the verge of exploding.
It'll take a few moments to get the coordinates from the navicomputer.
Are you kidding? Luke cried. At the rate they're gaining?
Good thing he didn't finish that thought. Han glared at him.
This kid, honestly.
Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops, boy. Without precise calculations, we could fly right through a star or bounce too close to a supernova, and that'd end your trip real quick, wouldn't it?
The fire from the Star Destroyers came fast and hot, now that Chewie could no longer avoid the bulk of it. Han braced a hand against the side paneling of the cockpit and input the last of the new coordinates. A red light flashed overhead, beeping out warning after warning after warning. Han winced.
What does that flashing mean?
Luke asked.
We're, losing our deflector shield. Go strap yourself in. I'm gonna make the jump to light speed.
And not a second too soon. Han met Chewbacca's light eyes.
Punch it!
The stars brightened around them, flaring to life in the second before the ship picked up speed. He was pushed back against his seat as the Falcon flew forward into hyperspace, leaving the Imperial cruisers to eat its dust. Han let out an exhilarated laugh.
Okay, so maybe that was the best part of flying.
Chapter 9.
That's it exactly. The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together.
Han's fingers slowed from where he was patching some of the Falcon's fried wiring. The whole ship had taken a battering during their narrow escape from the Star Destroyers, and he had kept busy seeing to fixing it. Meanwhile, the old man had been lecturing Luke from the moment the ship had settled into hyperspace. They, Chewie and the droids, had migrated from the cockpit to the central hold area. Han told himself he was only hanging around nearby to make sure they didn't get any ideas about throwing their lightsabers around. He lifted his protective mask and cut the welding gun to watch their reflections in a nearby panel. The old man was still trying to teach the kid to hold his sword and had moved on to posing Luke like a toy doll. Ben adjusted the kid's stance, pushing his legs out farther and having him raise his arms just so. Han wasn't convinced one needed perfect technique when one had a sword that could cut through just about anything.
Like this, Luke, Ben said, swinging his own lightsaber hilt down, then back up, then back down.
Han was grateful Ben wasn't working with his blade ignited like the kid was. Otherwise, the ship would be in pieces.
Block, strike, block. Yes, precisely. You feel the force moving through you? It guides your body and obeys your command in equal measure.
Yeah,
Luke said.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel something.
Uh-huh. Hacking at the air for a half hour was going to give you sore arms, but that was about it.
Wonderful.
Ben shifted, sliding his foot back, raising his lightsaber hilt again, and tilting his wrists back.
Strike position. Relax your grip slightly. This leaves your chest open to attack, so you must only hold this position for no more than a moment.
Luke arched his back, and the pose was so strange, Han couldn't keep his chuckle in. The kid must have heard it, because he scowled and switched the lightsaber off.
Oh, this is pointless. What can I really learn on a ship in a few hours?
Exactly. Han dropped his mask down back over his face and returned to the circuitry in front of him.
I do not expect you to master everything in mere minutes, and you should not expect that of yourself either. That is a path to frustration, anger, and both are dangerous.
As he switched the welder off again, Han heard Luke ask,
What do you mean?
There are two sides of the Force. The light side of the Force, the way of the Jedi, aligns with selflessness, enlightenment, mercy, and compassion. The dark side, the way of the Sith, deals in hatred, fear, anger, jealousy. You must learn to control your emotions, otherwise they will control you.
Ha! Han thought. Easier said than done. Wasn't the mix of all that what made them humans?
Why do some go to the dark side?
He heard Luke ask.
If they know that it brings destruction and pain, what's the draw?
Everyone has their own destinies. The Force works in mysterious ways, but it leads us to where we need to be in order to achieve balance. Many Sith believe that the dark side holds more power, but that is simply not true.
Han strained his ears to catch what the old man said next.
It was the Force that brought me into your life, and it is the Force that will guide you to your destiny.
It was a comforting thought, even Han had to admit, the idea that everything happened for a reason. But the part about not being in the pilot's seat of his own life rubbed at him in a bad way. And he knew firsthand that good and evil were not as cut and dry as the old loon was making them sound. Most people, himself included, had to live in that narrow, fuzzy bit of gray in between. Because what ensured a long life tended to be good aim with a blaster, a fast ship, and dependable friends. Not hoping some big energy field had your back. Everyone was just living and trying to get by in bad situations. Why should Han be any different? He sat up a little straighter, shaking his head. From an early age, he'd learned always to rely on himself to decide his future. And nothing was going to change that now. All these causes people got behind, the Force, even the new Rebel Alliance, they only led straight to tragedy. Han had seen enough of life to know that, too. The kid continued to slide between stances, blocking and striking at an invisible enemy. Han was so busy pretending he wasn't watching, he missed the R2 unit rolling up behind him until the thing knocked into him and whistled to get his attention.
You finished scanning the hyperdrive? Everything look good?
Han asked. The R2 unit whistled in affirmative and rolled past him before Han could ask about the sensor transceiver. The floor paneling rattled as the droid's wheels moved over it, taking the droid into the central hold. Han was about to turn back to lock up the circuit panel when he saw the fossil wave the droid over. Luke had a look of intense concentration on his face as he pivoted around in a circle, lifting his lightsaber this way, that way, clearly lost in his own world. The R2 unit moved to Ben's side as if it were his faithful pet, an image that was further reinforced by the old man stroking a hand over its domed head.
It's good to fly with you again, my old.